Confessions of a Trainwreck.
Commandment number 124. Thou shalt remember that money talks, but all mine ever says is goodbye. Hola, Team Trainwreck. Happy Tuesday and welcome back to another episode of Confessions of a Trainwreck, which, by the way, I truly, truly hope is one of the highlights of your week. I'm Phoebe, your podcast host and resident trainwreck, whose life is currently being held together by pre-workout and dry shampoo. Now, I'm not going to faff around this week by telling you what I've been up to, because truth be told, my life right now is literally eat, sleep, gym, work, podcast, cry, repeat. And to be really honest with you, which let's be honest, when am I not really honest with you? I really got used to like a slower and calmer kind of life during my stand down period. And as grateful as I am to be back at work full time and back to my absolutely crazy chaotic schedule, the transition back to that kind of fast paced life hasn't been as easy as I remember it being pre stand down. Anyway, I'll be fine and I digress. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, I am absolutely stoked beyond belief to introduce you to this week's guest, who I have now dubbed my financial fairy godmother, the one, the only, Victoria Devine, who is a financial advisor as well as the brains and beauty behind the She's on the Money podcast. Victoria honestly has a real knack for making money chats sound super sexy and interesting. Something that I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd hear myself say, but there we go, I've gone and said it. So this week, Victoria and I caught up about the biggest money mistakes that millennials are making. And just to preempt this episode and to appease any anxiety that you all might have around your own money and spending habits, just so you know, I make every single one of the mistakes that we get into today. Love that for me. So get your pens and paper ready, because an absolute slew of invaluable information is coming your way. And for those of you who are interested, I've included all of Victoria's information in this week's show notes, including links to her Instagram, website, and podcast, which I highly, highly recommend you check out stat. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you love this week's episode as much as I do. Well, welcome to the podcast, Victoria Devine. I am so, so, so excited to have you on this episode. I have been so excited for this all week.
Me too, actually. I've been listening to your podcast since before my podcast even launched. I don't know if that's strange or not. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I've followed you on socials since forever. Like, I don't know if that's weird to say. Oh, so like, maybe edit that out so I don't sound like some kind of super creep. But
I'm definitely not editing that out. I'm leaving that one in.
All right, cool. But I've loved it. I feel like it's really relatable and stuff that I'm like, yeah, okay, like that's me.
Oh, and same for your podcast and the whole philosophy of everything you do. I think that money is one of those things that people are really scared of because it seems really inaccessible, but you make it super real and super accessible and almost like super cool, like something that you want to learn about in the way that you explain it.
Look, I hope it becomes super cool. I'm not sure if that's what I would explain it as, but I do think there's something incredibly sexy about a woman who knows how to budget and actually take control of her finances so she doesn't have to be reliant on other people or decision making that other people make. And I just think that that level of freedom and that level of just being empowered is really, really nice. And you don't actually know what that feels like if you've never had it. But when you have it, you're like, oh, I never want to get rid of this because I just feel so in control. Like everything else can be out of control.
Especially in 2020.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember hearing a quote by somebody once, and the quote was, a man is not a financial plan. And that is something that has always, always, always stuck with me, despite the fact that you do have some days at work when you're like, that's it, I'm just going to be a sugar baby from now on. But
I joke all the time to my partner.
That's not the right path.
I joke all the time to my partner. I'm like, so when can I be a stay-at-home cat mum? I'm just wondering if I can just not go to work today. And he's like, I don't think you have that grace, but that's okay. It's worth asking. Oh,
especially now you don't have a choice.
Yeah, no, I've got no choice.
Okay, so today before we get started, I wanted to make you feel super at home by starting this podcast episode the way that you start your podcast episode. And those of my listeners who listen to your podcast, She's on the Money, will be very familiar with a segment that you have at the start of your episodes called Money Wins and Money Confessions. So yes. I have prepared
both for you today.
Oh, exciting.
I want to start with a money win because those are very few and far between for me. So I think that any kind of little monetary win should be celebrated.
Totally. What have you got for me?
So I drink a lot of coffee because there's a lot of things that I need to get done in a day. So I went through a really bad phase where I was buying probably anywhere between 3 and 4 coffees a day, which, as you know, adds up quite exponentially to anywhere between, you know, $20 a day, which is just obscene. So I've cut back, and I think it was very unrealistic for me to say to myself, I'm not going to buy any coffee anymore. I allow myself to buy 1 coffee a day, but I recently found a Nescafe packet mix of oat milk cappuccinos, which is my coffee order of choice anyway, and the whole pack of 6 is $5. It's basically like 5 coffees for the price of 1.
That's an epic money win, but also I'm an oat milk drinker, and I'm shocked. I didn't know this existed. Is it actual oat milk powder or is it like got dairy in it too?
No, there's no dairy in it. So this is what I was shocked about too, because I'm very fussy when it comes to oat milk. I'll only drink an Oatly oat milk cappuccino.
Okay, yes. I'm oat milk, like minor figures, or just get in the bin. Like, I'm not having it. I feel like... Honestly, I feel like the oat milk community is going to really resonate with us here. Like Oatly or minor figures, or you can just leave. Like, don't try something else on me. I'm not having it.
100%. But this one, honestly, kind of, there's 3 different versions. So there's an almond, a coconut, and an oat. I haven't tried the almond or the coconut because I'm not a huge fan of coconut milk. And a bad almond milk in a coffee is just, again, one of those things. It's just get in the bin. I don't want a bar of you.
Blah.
But the oat one is actually not too bad.
All right.
It's a little bit sweet and I don't like my coffee to be sweet, but it's better than an instant coffee.
Yeah, impressive. I'm actually going to look into that because as someone who doesn't consume dairy at all, I find it really challenging because I see all these cool packet coffees that I cannot consume. So yeah, I love that as a money win. But do you know what I'm really hanging out for? Your money confession.
What?
They're always my favorite.
Oh gosh.
I just like to hear it because it's always going to be something relatable.
It will be. And you know what? This podcast is called Confessions of a Trainwreck. So here we go. Confession number 1
for
today's episode.
Why are we bothering? Honestly, like you've already done it.
People know exactly what they're in for. So I got very good for a while there at saving money and living within my budget. But this week I took money out of my savings to pay for a very bougie dinner, which was kind of out of my price range. So once a month, my partner and I go out to dinner with another couple, but we don't go to, you know, like just takeaway restaurants. We, you know, take the time to have a proper date night with the margaritas. And we usually go to like a fancy restaurant where you can get the banquet. So you know how it's usually capped at a price of, you know, about $65-$70 per head. And you get a little taster of everything. Anyway, this one particular dinner we went to this week ended up being about $150 a head.
Oh my gosh.
They all make a fair bit more money than I do, but I didn't want to miss out because I get very bad FOMO and I didn't want to be that fun drainer. So I ended up taking the money out of my savings, which I haven't done in a long time.
Naughty, but also, did you love it?
It was amazing. It was if anyone's familiar with Brisbane, it was Honto Japanese. So it was like the best food. Probably the best food I've eaten this year, to be honest. It
Yay.
Was worth every penny.
Well, there you go. I just feel like we should be spending our money in line with our values. And I don't think that you should be doing that all the time. But I feel like once in a while, like maybe that's you spending your money on experiences. And I think that's awesome.
That's it. I mean, I could justify it by thinking about the money that I saved on buying a second and third coffee.
Okay, like that's probably taking it a little too far, but like I'm here for it.
I'm all about trying to justify it.
Yeah, like justify it.
Okay.
But do you know what that means? Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to have to find $150 to put back in your savings.
Oh my God, that's true.
Yeah, now you're going to have to
go find
it. I
never even thought about it like that.
But that's okay. You can repay it.
I guess I'm housebound. I guess I'm housebound for the rest of this long weekend.
But
it's
also,
going to be a really fun one.
I love coffee wins, and I think that lots of people are making them at the moment. But to turn them into actual wins, we need to be allocating that money into another account or like changing it into your savings.
Oh,
because otherwise,
right.
You're not actually saving anything. You've just got more money in your account that you're able to access that you're probably just going to spend on something else. So I think that setting up a direct debit that makes you feel really empowered of like $10 a day, as you said, you were spending heaps on coffee. Like maybe transfer $10 a day that you would have spent on coffee into your savings, so at least you can see your savings grow and at least you're feeling really motivated at the same time.
Oh, I love that. And I had never thought the entire way through the process. I was just like, well, I'm saving money. You're absolutely not saving money. You're not putting it into your savings account. It's just sitting in your spendings account.
Yeah,
you're probably buying it on Savvy B.
Exactly. Technically, you're saving it. But I think that more often than not, we'll just look at our spending account and we'll think about it and go, oh, well, that's really good. I've got an extra $30 in there. I'll just spend it. So we're not actually building any wealth or not actually putting it to work. What we actually need to do is reallocate it so that if we were taking it out of our account, we still do that, but it goes somewhere productive.
I love that. And maybe I will set up a direct debit account this afternoon. It probably won't be $10 a day. I think it'll be more like $20 a week extra that might go into my savings. But I guess $20 a week adds up.
It absolutely will add up, and it adds up so quickly as well.
Yeah, that is what I want to hear. So today what I want to talk to you about is actually inspired by a blog article that I read on your website called Money Mistakes That Millennials Are Making. Because when I read them, they seemed so simple, but I prepared a little story for every dot point that you have and realized that I am making every single mistake that you have alluded to in this article.
Hey, well, so, at least I wasn't again, on point. Like, I know what I'm talking about if you're saying that then.
Bang on the money. So I thought today we could just have a really casual chat about five of the dot points, and I will, I guess there's going to be five mini confessions within this episode, but they're not horrific confessions. They're just little mistakes that we make all the time, and maybe you can help myself and my listeners rectify our spending habits so we can be better millennials.
I feel like I love this because one of my favorite segments of my podcast is the Money Wins and Money Confessions. And now we're just making it a whole thing about confessions. This is so pervy. I love
exactly.
it. Exactly. Thank you.
I'm so, so glad.
Let's do this.
So the first dot point is, I think, this is something that I think will resonate with a lot of people. And that is number one, keeping up with Instagram culture, which wasn't even something that I thought I did until I actually sat there and thought about it for a second. Because I got up on my high horse a couple of months ago. Actually, it might have been last year. I did an episode about Marie Kondoing my Instagram feed. So basically, I went through my Instagram feed and unfollowed like all of the retail stores, all of the people who made me feel bad about my body, all of that stuff, so I could have a really curated feed. But then I forgot about sponsored ads and programmatic advertising, which I should know better because I work in marketing and I do those things in my 9-to-5 day job. But I still get served constantly sponsored ads for like Princess Polly, Petal and Pup. And I've been getting served this one ad for Poppy Lisman bags. Are you familiar with those black bags that I've seen all over Instagram lately? They're kind of like a black leather bag with a long strap and they've got gold detailing on the straps.
I think I know what you're talking about, but the brand doesn't resonate with me.
Brand didn't either with me.
But you know what? My phone is probably 0.2 meters away from me, so I'm going to get served those ads in like a half hour anyway. So like, I'll learn.
I cannot wait to get a message from you soon about that. So after about the fourth time I got served that ad, I clicked through to the website because I was like, oh, that bag is kind of nice and I really need a black bag and I've needed one for ages. And then I saw one that had shark tooth detailing on it. And my OG listeners will know that I am obsessed with sharks. And it wasn't... I don't know if this is a justification or not. It wasn't that expensive. It was $230. I was going to buy it on Afterpay, but I just paid for it because I've also heard you say things about Afterpay not being as good as we might think it is, which I'm sure we'll get to a little bit later. But I did buy that bag based off the ad that I got served on Instagram and realized how many times I've actually done that.
I agree. And I think that that's something that is so common. And it's not, I don't know, we talk about Instagram culture a lot in our Facebook community. And I think originally people thought that Instagram culture was just buying things that influencers were pushing or seeing big, big models online that are all wearing, and I use this all the time, but like wearing a Gucci belt. Like, it's not just that. It's your targeted advertising. It is, you know, seeing your girlfriends out and being like, oh, that's a nice dress. Oh, I need a new dress to go out. Like, I'm in lockdown at the moment, so like I actually don't have any ability to go out anywhere, and I've realized that I'm saving a lot. It's fantastic money win for me, but also, I'm finding that I used to look through my Instagram feed and go, oh, yeah, I'm going out with my girlfriends, you know, next weekend to a winery for a Sunday afternoon. I need a new dress. Like, that's just my mindset because I was 100%. Like, that's what you do, right? And it's like, but I have so many beautiful dresses that I feel incredible in. Why don't I just wear one of those? But you just have in your head that because everybody else is posting these pictures that have dresses that you haven't seen on their feeds before, you're like, well, I need original content. And I think that that is
100%.
Exactly. And I just think that that mindset needs to shift. Like, there's something really sexy about people just wearing clothes that make them feel good. Like, if you've got a dress and you adore it, why are you only wearing it once and then going, oh, look, I wore that to such and such's wedding. Like, okay, no problems. But like, you bought it because you feel great in it. Why don't we just do it again? Put some different shoes with it.
That's such a girl thing, isn't it?
I used to be so bad at that, but now I have this one dress that I wear everywhere. Everybody would have seen it. If you're in my Facebook group, you've probably seen the montage of it that we've made. And it's like 10 photos of me in one photo wearing the same dress to different events. And I'm like, no, I love it. It's just like, I think I bought it in like 2011 or something. It's so old. It's like, you know, the brand Nicholas? Way back in its like heyday.
I love that brand.
Yeah, still love it.
Would have been beautiful. Anyway, and an investment, like, might I just say. It's navy, good that you're wearing it more than once.
It's a navy strapless dress and it's got pockets and this like, I think it's called a ball gown, but it like comes midi. Anyway, comes out beautifully and I wear it everywhere. I've worn it more casually with a little belt. I've worn it more formally with gold shoes. I've got girlfriends who have borrowed it, multiple girlfriends who have borrowed it. And I just feel like it's fun to wear the same thing. And people have never said to me, oh my gosh, you're wearing the same dress. The feedback I get is, oh my gosh, I love that dress. Like, I love that you wore it. So no one cares that you wear the same thing except for you.
Yeah, it must be such a girl thing, hey? Like, if you go out and you wear an outfit that you didn't take a photo in and put on Instagram, you have absolutely no qualms in wearing that outfit out somewhere again if you know there's going to be a photo or whatever. But it's the actual thought of, I think, not being seen in real life in the same thing, but being seen online in the same thing, which is so, such a backwards way of thinking. Yeah. And I bet you boys have not even thought twice about that problem.
Oh, every photo of my partner, same top. Same polo shirt, honestly. Like, and then I'll be like, oh, you wore that last time. He's like, yes. Like, have you ever thought about what a guy wears to a wedding? They buy one good wedding suit and then they're like, oh, I love that suit.
That's
love
so
that
true.
Shirt. That's my wedding outfit. I'm like, what do you mean that's your wedding outfit? You just have one?
That is very smart. And I think my problem with that is the outfits that I generally buy are quite loud and out there. They're never kind of the understated black neutral tone thing. So if I wear, for example, I have this like this red two-piece set and this lemon two-piece set and this pink two-piece set and everyone's like, oh, there's the lemon two-piece set again or there's the pink two-piece set again. But I think I just need to shift the conversation I'm having with myself. What is wrong with bringing out the lemon two-piece set again? It is fabulous.
I'm sure it's bougie as hell and you love wearing it and people think you look amazing in it. So why not put it on again? Like, think about how long we spend actually looking for an outfit that looks good and we, you know, get to the change room and we put it on and then we're like, oh my gosh, I feel really confident in this. That's hard. So if you find that outfit, wear it. Wear it for what it's worth.
Yeah, wear it with pride.
Exactly.
While we're on this topic too, I do want to touch on Afterpay because I've now seen a lot of, like you mentioned before, about the influencers who are pimping their products. Like a classic example, I'm not naming and shaming because I think they're still great products, but for example, like Bondi Boost, that's a brand that a lot of influencers are peddling quite hard. And now when you get served for things like Bondi Boost, there's always that little paddle down the bottom of the Instagram tile that says Afterpay now available. And I feel like when Afterpay came out, it was a huge game changer, especially for people like me who, after I got myself into hectic financial trouble in my mid-20s, when I finally eventually paid off my balance transferred credit cards and cut them up, I vowed that I would never, ever, 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 ever get another credit card again. But at this point, I also didn't have very many savings. So if there was something that I wanted to buy but I couldn't afford it, I obviously couldn't afford to pay for it outright, so I would use Afterpay. And that to me seemed like a much more sensible option. But when I think about it, I still now don't understand how Afterpay are making money from this seems too good to be true, kind of like a millennial lay-by.
Yeah. So Afterpay don't make money from you unless you have late fees. And Afterpay make their money from the merchant. So the person that is selling you stuff pays for Afterpay to be on their website. And then I think, I can't remember, I haven't reviewed their PDS recently, but I know last time I looked, they take at least 4% of the sale price so that they can have Afterpay on their website. So it's pretty significant what they're making. But then on the flip side, that makes sense because it obviously means that sales for those merchants increase and they, you know, it all works out in a positive way, in a way for the merchants. But I think one of the things that I guess people have me misquoted on in a way is that I hate Afterpay and that, you know, Afterpay's the devil. And don't get me wrong, like for some people, Afterpay's got them in a lot of trouble. And at the end of the day, Afterpay is a line of credit. Like if you go for a home loan, it's going to come up on your home loan credit statements. It's going to
come up. Does it really?
Yeah, because it's a line of credit. Like
I had no idea.
It works in exactly the same way a credit card would. You just don't have a card. And so it's something that can actually hinder people from getting into home loans if they're carrying debt because it's seen as you not being able to manage your cash flow efficiently. But the thing with Afterpay is I actually love it as a business because I think that it's a really cool idea, right? Like my mom used to lay-by stuff when I was younger. Like I remember going to Target.
Me too. Yeah, all I remember the time.
I remember going to Target and being like, yep, we'll put that on lay-by. I'm like, this is genius. Like this woman knows her stuff. This is just reverse lay-by.
I'm so glad you said that because my mum was exactly the same as that. Lay-by'd everything. And it was so exciting going into the shop with them and making the little repayments.
Yes. And do you remember how much gratification you'd get being like, I know I'm going to get it. And you looked forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this thing that you were like, oh my God, we're paying off the lay-by for whatever it was. Or it might've been Christmas presents or a birthday present, but you knew there was something to look forward to. Afterpay is doing something similar, but instead of the long-term gratification that we have with lay-by, it's now instant gratification. So we can say, yeah, cool, it's not going to cost me the full amount, I'll take it. So we are more likely to commit to purchases that we wouldn't have otherwise if we had to part with the entire amount. So for me, I think that Afterpay is not great for those people who are going to get themselves into trouble because it enables really instantaneous purchases. Like it enables you to see Bondi Boost on Instagram and go, hey, cool, it'll only be like $12 if I get it now. And to you, that doesn't seem like a lot, but this stuff adds up. And from little things, big things grow. And that's how savings happen. And that's how we actually hinder ourselves when it comes to finances. So no, I'm not completely against Afterpay. I actually have a number of clients and friends who use it as a really great line of credit. Like I've got one girlfriend who uses it on the Iconic because you can make the full, you can make the full order, right? And you can get a couple of sizes to make sure that you're getting the right one. You get it. Iconic have free returns. So she then sends back the stuff she doesn't want, gets to try on a few things, but never has to part with the full amount for the full price. And I think that's kind of like
that's smart. Pretty genius.
Yeah, pretty genius. I mean, Iconic's probably never going to sponsor my podcast knowing this is the type of stuff I'm pulling on them, but that's all right. Like, I just thought that was pretty savvy, but she's using it on things that she was definitely going to purchase anyway to make sure that her cash flow isn't impacted. And if you're using it that way, awesome. But I think people need to know that it is a line of credit. It does impact your credit rating. It does impact your cash flow and it enables you to purchase things that you otherwise wouldn't have purchased in exactly the same way that a credit card would.
I had no idea that it was a line of credit and it showed up when you were trying to get a home loan. That is like shook me, to be honest. But also very valid points that you all make, and I've learned something already, but Afterpay is kind of annoying because you get a text message, it seems like every fortnight for 8 years, saying your Afterpay payment is coming out tomorrow and it never seems to go away.
Because you keep using it. And I think that that's like not the worst thing in the world if you're buying things that are in line with your values, but so often do I talk to people who are purchasing things that, you know, might be a dress for this weekend. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm still paying off something that I don't even want anymore. And if I said to you, okay, well, you know, you'll pay it off over 4 installments, over 4 weeks or whatever your payment plan is, because there's heaps of different programs like this. It's not just Afterpay. That's just the most prominent one. Do you still want it in 4 weeks? You'd be like, no, like I've thought about it. I don't want to purchase that. But what these products are enabling you to do is have it right now so that you don't actually get that reflection time. And one of the biggest pieces of advice, and if you've listened to my podcast, you've heard me say this 600 million times, is put 24 hours between you and your spending. You want to buy Bondi Boost? No problems. buy it tomorrow at the same time. Have a think about whether you need it. Like, I'm not saying don't purchase these things, because I'm not you. Like, if you want to purchase it and it makes you super happy, like, who am I to judge you? But it's give yourself time to work out if it is actually something you want, or you're just getting a little bit click happy because it's ISO and I'm really bored.
It's like a cooling off period.
Exactly. Like, give that to yourself, because I guarantee the same product will be available in 24 hours. And if you can give yourself longer, that's even better. But I know that 24 hours is a little bit easier for most people. You know, I'd love to say give it a week, give it 4 weeks. I try that myself, but like, I'm never going to give advice that I wouldn't take myself, and I'm really bad.
And now what the retailers are doing is, if you put something in your cart but you don't buy it, you get all those follow-up emails like 12 hours later, 24 hours later, saying, are you still thinking about this? Oh, we'll give you 5% off. Oh, we'll give you free shipping. It is dangerous. It is like, deadly.
That's another financial tip, right, that I saw in my Facebook group recently. Someone's like, if you're going to buy it, just put it in your cart and walk away from it, because they'll surely send you a discount on something you were going to purchase anyway.
That's so, like, smart.
Like, I mean, don't buy things for the sake of it, but if you're genuinely going to go purchase something, go and purchase it, put it in your cart, see if they send you a discount code. But then also, if you're already going to purchase it, use apps like Wiser, or use apps like Shopback, so that you get some cash back and it goes towards something. And I think that that's really important, right?
100%. I actually have a friend who is very, very savvy, and she would never buy anything full price. She makes a very good amount of money, but she's just very savvy like that. Her mum raised her to be like that. And she will always, 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 before she buys something online, Google it and find a discount code from somewhere on the internet. I don't know how she does it every single time, but she always says to me, before you buy anything online, let me know what it is and I will find you a discount code.
Oh my
gosh. Not condoning you should do that, because I don't know how legal that is, but no, she's managed totally to find legal one every single time.
But like, if they're on the internet, they're there to be used, but then there are products like Shopback. This is absolutely not sponsored. I just use their product. They actually have a Chrome extension that you can put on your computer that will automatically look for stuff and give you cash back, so you don't even have to log in.
Wow. It just makes me want to online shop now.
No, sorry. Like, cut that out. That is not what I was trying to do at all. But if you
so then let's if, round out that dot point.
Exactly. Like, let's move on from there. But if you are going to online shop, at least be savvy with it.
Love that. Absolutely love that for us. Okay, number two is, I think this is something that everybody will resonate with: falling back on retail therapy when you're feeling down. And I think the reason I say everyone will resonate with this is because there are so many memes and TikTok videos about this. Like, the one going around now is like, what do we do when we're sad? Add to cart. No, I've seen that one probably 20 times in the last 2 days alone. Yeah. And look, I did try to do this during COVID and lockdown, but there's not many fun things that you can buy or add to your cart when you're on JobKeeper. So I didn't actually fall back on retail therapy this year so much.
But that's a good thing.
I feel like Exactly. But I feel like the whole concept of emotional retail therapy is kind of similar to emotional eating, in that is it just like the initial dopamine hit that you're looking for?
Exactly.
But then after you add it to cart and you pay for it, or however you purchase it, maybe not online, but in the shop or however, then that feeling's gone, and then you feel like you need to buy something more to then get that feeling again.
Exactly. And that's it, right? Like, it's a hit of dopamine, and regardless of what it is, it could be food, it could be shopping, like, instant gratification, and that dopamine hit is what we're looking for. So I think that being aware of that and going, all right, well, what am I going to replace that with? And it's going to sound not as sexy, but exercise and good eating are things that are going to be able to replace that, because often it's time as well. So I have a lot of people that I talk to, they're like, look, I know you say don't go and do retail shopping, but at the end of the day, like, I've got 6 hours to kill on a Saturday, so I'm going to go shopping. I'm just going to go down to, you know, Bondi Junction, and I'm going to go for a wander, and like, I don't mean to purchase anything. It's like, okay, well, can you find a nice nature walk to swap that walk out? And actually just don't put yourself in a situation where you can make that decision.
Right. So is that more of a psychological reaction than an actual need to shop?
I think it's a psychological thing because you end up in a situation where you just feel like it's a craving. Like there are shopping addictions. It's an addictive feeling, like dopamine hit. It's exactly the same way drugs work, right? Like it gives us this instant high, but then we realize like, oh, like now I've bought that, like I want to buy something else. It's not actually the product that makes you happy. It's the transaction that's making you happy. So find something you can swap for that, because I know that most people who are retail shopping and get a high, as you would say, off that, it's not actually about the product, and they end up with stuff that they don't need, stuff that they don't want, that they don't actually value. Might be beautiful, but they don't ever end up using it.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested to know then, what do you do when you're feeling down?
Oh, I retail shop. Come
on
now.
What's your go-to?
No. No, I'm very much into self-care. And I feel like this has been really recent for me. Not in the last, you know, 6 months, but I'd say in the last 3 years, I've really started to do a lot more Pilates, a lot more yoga. I'm getting into meditation, and I never ever thought I would get into meditation.
Are you?
Yes.
You're going to have to tell me how you did that, because I've never been able to get into it. I can't do yoga. I can't sit still, but I think that I really need that at the moment.
Like, I swear I have ADHD. So this is like something that is actually helping me relax, but I can't just sit and meditate. It's not going to happen. But I found some really good like podcasts and stuff on Spotify, which is like guided meditations. And I find that by listening to them, it like kind of takes you on a journey. And it's like, now think about this, now think about that, now think about this. And I can follow that and stay engaged. Whereas if you said sit down and reflect, I'd be like, cool. Oh, look at that sky. And then I'd be inside again looking in the fridge. Like I'm the worst.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've found the things that resonate with me, and so I've been doing a lot more of that. I used to be a big shopper. I never went into massive personal debt or anything like that shopping, but, you know, I did like to head to Chadston, and I did like to go shopping, but I feel like once I became really clear on my goals and on my values and on my beliefs around money, I was like, oh, actually, I have a bigger goal. I don't actually want to do that because I'm working towards this. And that comes back to the coffee thing, right? Like if you can see that something is actually changing and your savings is actually increasing by allocating that money somewhere else, you're not as likely to slip back into just being like, oh, I'm glad I saved that money. I'm just going to start buying coffees again, because it's actually tangible and you can actually see it. And I think that once I worked out, you know, my budget and my cash flow, and I can see where it's coming and see where it's going, and I know how much money I can, quote, blow each week, because I have a fund to make sure that, you know, I don't feel like I'm, you know, missing out on anything. Like I'm very big into lifestyle and making sure that we have balance. But I'm like, oh, no, I don't want to spend it on that. Like, no. And I think about it a little bit more, but I've given myself the structure to think about it. And then I've given myself alternatives. So like, again, big on self-care, big on meditation, big on yoga, love to go on walks, also love face masks and like skincare, which is probably another really expensive habit, let's be honest.
Yes, but I did hear your money win the other day about finding the affordable skincare, the serums. Yes.
So good. So, so good.
I'm going to have to check that out because I got really obsessed with the ASI face serum, which is about $110 per little jar, and it does not last you very long, but the results are very, very addictive.
Well, I did a lot of research, and thank you, TikTok, for introducing me to so many different skincare specialists. It's embarrassing how long during COVID I have spent looking at TikTok. I swear I need to make one, but I'm still technologically challenged.
Oh, I've spent about an hour today just looking on it for no reason.
Yeah, I look at it. I'm not a content creator on there. I'm just a creeper. It's fine.
An observer.
But yeah, exactly. A thoughtful observer. I spent ages looking at like the products that, you know, I was buying and their active ingredients, and then compared them to The Ordinary, and they're identical. And I was like, I'm happy.
Really?
Like The Ordinary serum.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I bought a couple of them, probably didn't need all of them, but let's be honest. Sometimes you just get a little bit click happy when ordering on Adore Beauty.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They range between $8 and $23 for a serum.
Like, that is what? Insane.
So that's why I went a little bit happy. Anyway, give it a crack. I liked it. The buffet, I don't know. We're just doing product reviews now. The buffet, love it.
Amazing. I'm definitely going to have to check that one out. And I think what you were saying before about knowing your values when it comes to money is such a huge one. And that was a big game changer for me, because a lot of people think I'm crazy for spending a lot of money on fitness related things. Like I have several gym memberships. I spend a lot of money on things like pre-workout and running shoes and things like that. But I get so much enjoyment from that stuff. And I think that I'm not a huge shopper anymore. I used to be, but that was like pre-fitness Phoebe, I like to call her. And I was really upset to discover yesterday that my Studio Pilates is now raising their prices to $260 for 10 classes. And
what?
I'm going to have to say goodbye to that because that's outrageous.
Oh, that is the worst. Pilates is so expensive. I go to this.
It is. So now I'm looking at buying a reformer machine and just pooling all that money that I would have spent on single classes and just having a machine.
Oh my gosh. I wish I had the dedication to actually do it at home. I go to reformer Pilates, or I used to go to reformer Pilates pre-COVID, 3 or 4 times a week. I adored it. Like, it was my favorite place. I go to this place. I don't know. People in Melbourne probably not going to know what I'm talking about because it's just east side, but it's called Love Athletica. It's like peachy branding. So it's like so on brand for She's on the Money. And they like light, honestly, they like light candles. And every Wednesday evening was like my favorite because they did this Pilates class. So like reformer, really hard class, but then they did a 20 minute yoga and stretch session after. So you were like, exhausted, then have like essential oils and have like some candles and stuff, and it was just like a vibe. I loved it. It was my favorite thing ever. It's the thing I miss the most, being in ISO. Weird. Never thought I'd say that, but
no, that's, I get that, because when we were in ISO here, the gyms being closed was the end of my life.
Yeah, I just need someone to recreate that at home. And I was like, do you know what? I'll just get my own reformer bed. I'll put it, like, we've got enough space for it. Fantastic. No. $3,000 for a reformer bed. Are you kidding? I did not know how expensive they are. I was like, I could pick up,
surely,
you know,
we could
maybe
just
like
build one.
Maybe I'll be bougie and splurge in my head. I was like, I'll get a $500 one or something off Gumtree. Like, I'll get a good one. No, a good one's going to cost you $4,000, Victoria. Oh,
I know.
Okay, well,
I thought that same thing.
Do you know what? I bought a new yoga mat recently, and we can get to that when we talk about, you know, what I bought recently. $20, sweet. I am fine with my mat Pilates.
I was just going to say that maybe at this point in time, you'll just have to substitute your reformer for your mat Pilates.
Yeah, I'm back to mat Pilates. I'm done.
Go hard.
Going to go hard on it. I am not willing to spend that much money on a reformer Pilates bed.
Well, me neither now. You've just inspired me to buy a Pilates mat and just stick to the free YouTube Pilates.
You know what? I'm here for it.
Now, because this week's episode was so chock full of juicy informational tidbits, I decided to split it up into part one and part two. Part two will be available same time, same place next week. Don't you second guess me, no, no. Confessions of a train wreck. If you haven't subscribed yet, hello, do it now. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, rate me and write a review. See you again next week for Trainwreck Tuesday.